Good morning. We are talking with Eric and Jessica. We're talking about power lines, essentially, talking with some representatives from Dairyland Power. And suddenly energy has kind of become a hot button topic. We all love to come home. We all love to flip on our light switch and have the lights come on. We all enjoy all of our appliances running. But how energy usage, how energy is being distributed has changed drastically just in the last 20 years. And Eric, I know that there is a big project that is happening in our listening area. And I kind of just want you to talk about the project in general, and then we'll kind of move into how and why this project is needed.
Yes. So the Maryvale Transmission Project is what we're here talking about today. So the Maryvale Transmission Project runs from Marion, Minnesota, into across the river, into Wisconsin, into Vernon and Crawford counties, and then the project ends at Bell Center, Wisconsin. This project is part of a greater build-out by the grid operator that looks to kind of expand reliability across the upper Midwest and help create jobs and investment into our local communities.
And again, you know, I say we've become a society where we expect power all the time. I expect my power to always be running. Now there are instances like massive storms that take down power lines and we go, well, yes, that's why my power is not working. But we have seen across the country different places where maybe the power grid can't keep up or they have rolling blackouts and stuff like that. That's not really something we've ever had to experience in the Midwest. And again, with the exception of major storms, we are very used to when we turn on the lights, they turn on. We have power, right?
Absolutely. And I'll let Jessica kind of explain as well a little bit about why a project like this is so important and so needed for the upper Midwest.
Yes, perfect. Thank you, Eric. So this project is needed because you have very good reliability right now, but the grid operator in the central United States has got to plan for the future because projects like this take approximately 10 years to develop and construct and then put in service. So they do an analysis to look at the anticipated increase in electrical demand decades in the future so that when we reach that point in time, we have the infrastructure built out to accommodate the need.
And, you know, you think about your average household, say 30, 40 years ago, there was probably maybe one TV in a home. A refrigerator, maybe a chest freezer. And, you know, if you were wealthy, you might have had an air conditioning unit. You might have had a heater. But, you know, not every home was equipped with 10 TVs, 8 different devices, and just kind of all of the different, you know, technological advancements that we have. So when you look at the needs of what we're using in power in a 2026 world, versus maybe a 1980s or 1970s world, it's drastically different.
Exactly. And that is what the grid operator identified when they did their planning studies several years ago, is that the country is moving towards more and more electrification. And that could be increases in your daily use of electricity, or it could be electrification of transportation. But there is anticipated growth in both the commercial and industrial sectors.
Yeah, definitely. We weren't charging our cars, you know, 40 years ago. That was, you know, such a, that was like talking about the Jetsons. I mean, it wasn't even a thought that crossed our minds. Now, you know, people have moved to electrical vehicles. They have to charge them somewhere. Your grid isn't built for everybody to charge a vehicle. And I'm not saying that that's what this project is for, but I'm just saying the needs that we have for power have changed drastically. So again, with this project, what is the difference between this project and like the current line that exists?
So the current, this project is going to utilize most likely the Dairyland 161 KV transmission corridor. And we're looking to optimize the use of that existing corridor because it can limit the impact environmentally and make better use of the land and lessen the impact for landowners. So what it will be two electrical circuits on a single structure. So the 161 kV line will be rebuilt, and on that same structure will be a 765 kV structure. That will help us minimize impacts to both landowners and the environment by utilizing that existing corridor.
Okay, so sorry, Eric. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to add, too, you know, you hear 765 kilovolt and you think, oh, that's just a few steps up from the 161 line that's currently in place. One thing that's interesting to note is that, you know, that 765 is actually 5 to 6 times the amount of electricity that can be carried on that 161 line. So we're talking about, you know, a big difference in increase in capacity on that 765 line, and that allows us to kind of minimize those impacts as much as possible.
And again, so if you're a lay person, you have no idea what 750, you know, any of these numbers mean. You know, why are we talking about this transmission line? I mean, I feel like we don't talk about power lines a lot. We just know that they exist. Why has this become kind of a hot button topic? And what, I guess, are you trying to explain to people? Hey, this is just a bigger power line, correct?
Exactly. It's another transmission circuit that will allow for more power to flow because of that increased electrical demand and new generation sources that are in different locations than the legacy power plants that are coming due for retirement. We need to build out the infrastructure to get to those new generation sources, and so the voltage is higher, which gives us more flow through that power line and allows us to access areas throughout the region.
So are these taller power poles? Are they, you know, what's the average person who's driving past this line going to think, or what would they notice? Or are they not going to notice anything at all?
So the existing 161 kV line in that corridor that we're seeking to reuse are wooden H-frame poles that are approximately 80 feet tall. The new structure will be a steel lattice structure, and it'll vary in height from 150 to 200 feet. And it will depend on largely topography, ground clearance, and other engineering design considerations.
So, again, we're not talking like a 600-foot power pole. It's going to be, you know, less than double or, you know, close to the same height, I guess, correct?
It'll be a factor of approximately 2.
Okay. And, again, it's kind of one of those things where I feel like in rural America, you know, we've largely been untouched. People have kind of let us be. And now, you know, first we saw windmills come in. Now we have solar farms. And I feel like, again, everybody loves to turn their lights on and everybody loves to have power. But it seems like it's kind of almost this trifecta coming at us. And then you throw in the controversy with data centers and it's just almost like a full stop. Everybody leave. We don't want any of this, but we all still want power, correct?
Yes, yes, that certainly is a challenge. But this transmission line will provide the opportunity to bring in power from different types of generation.
And again, you're staying along the same line that the current power lines are on, correct?
Yes, the preferred route that we will submit in state application for the most part follows the existing transmission corridor because Gridlions and Dairyland are both environmental stewards and we're looking to minimize the impact to not only the environment but also landowners.
And again, if people are listening to this and they're saying, Lori, you're not asking the right questions, or this is why, you know, we should have this, or this is why we shouldn't have this, is there a way for people to get more information about this line? I mean, I can only cover so many topics in this short interview. Is there ways that people can get more information if they want it?
Yes, of course. And we are welcome to receive that and respect the feedback that we have gotten to date. So we have hosted open houses. We have held town meetings and meetings with county officials that are open to the public. We are in contact directly with each of the potentially impacted landowners. And we also, once we file our state regulatory application later this year, the public can participate in that process, which includes input into the environmental impact study. There will be a public meeting and a public hearing. So we will be posting our docket number on our website so that folks can engage in the process.
And the website, Lori, is www.marybelltransmission.com. There, everyone can kind of see kind of the public information currently available on the project, learn more about the structures, learn more about the routes. So it's a really good source of information, and people can kind of direct their comments in the meantime to that website there for any questions or concerns they might have on the project.
All right. Again, this is we're talking about the new transmission line, or the proposed transmission line, that would run through parts of Vernon and Crawford County. So again, thanks to Eric and Jessica for talking with us. Eric, one more time, what's that website if people want more information about this transmission line?
Yes, it's www.marybelltransmission.com.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.